You know the podcasting industry is growing when you see very niched companies launching and producing podcasts for lawyers. Love it. I had such a great chat with Robert Ingalls of Law Pods about the podcasting industry. And no, it's not saturated. How to make your podcast stand out, how to repurpose your content to attract leads, and why lawyers are launching podcasts. Take a listen to our chat. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another episode of Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm joined today by another expert in the podcast industry. And what I love about him is that he has niched down even further within the podcasting industry, which I think is super cool. And yeah, so welcome here, Robert, with Law Pods. And I'm super excited to chat with you.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's lovely to be here.
So let's just kind of like from a linear perspective, kind of go back in time. Obviously, were a lawyer in the past, had your practice, and then you launched your own podcast. What made you decide to launch a podcast, and what were some of those lessons along in that journey?
I mean, the short story there really is it started with six words. And those were, I want to have a baby. And I heard, yeah, as many good stories do start. And I was at that point, this is around August of 2015, and I was practicing law, not well from a financial standpoint, from an emotional standpoint. My clients probably didn't think I was doing that great of a job either. And I just was barely hanging on. And I don't even think I realized how bad it was at the time. And I just gotten married and we didn't even know if we wanted to have kids. And then all of a sudden, a few months in, it was like, oh, wait, I think we should do it now. Like somebody might live here next year style. And I kind of had a little bit of a proper freak out there and yeah. Mostly unbeknownst to her.
On the side.
But I sat down after I collected myself and I made a list. And at the top of that list was money. I didn't have any, wasn't really figuring out how to make it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I got to figure this out. And I read a book about money. The author said, you should listen to our podcast. I'd never listened to a podcast before. And so I took out my phone, I listened, and then I was just immediately intoxicated. Everything was there, everything I could imagine. And one of the first episodes I listened to was a show called Awesome Office. They're not publishing anymore, but the first guest was Tom Bilyeu, founder of Quest Nutrition. And the whole episode was a lot about mindset. I'd never really heard anybody talk about mindset before.
Right.
And by the end of that episode, I kind of started to internalize this idea that I'd been told my whole life and never really paid attention to. You can do anything you want in your life. And I'd never really heard it until that moment. And that just sent me off down this path. 30 days later, I own the mic that I'm talking into right now.
Wow.
Thankfully, it worked out. It wasn't super cheap, especially at the time.
Yeah.
But I started in my law office at night with one of my friends, just recording episodes. And I loved it. I loved the technology. At the time, I was still using a mixing board because we didn't have all this really easy stuff that we have now. But I loved it. I spent so much spare time doing it. I started my own podcast at my law firm. And that really is what set me down that road of loving the medium, connecting with other people. My network was growing by doing it. Mm. And then my first client was just, I was still kind of practicing law. My first client was another lawyer who saw me do it that said, you think you could help me do that?
Ooh.
I said, I'd love to. And he said, come by tomorrow. And that was client number one. And I really just haven't looked back since then. I was like, I think that this is something I can do. It was hard in the beginning, but I really leaned into it. And thankfully it paid off over the long game.
It's so weird how your journey just kind of like, whoop, like does like a pivot that you totally don't anticipate, but some people don't lean into that.
Well, it's scary. I would be lying if I didn't say that it was very scary. I And I didn't know on day one. I had no idea when I started kind of tinkering in my spare bedroom with a mic and a mixer that I would be doing it for other people. And well, and that was mindset as well. Who am I? Who am I?
Oh, absolutely.
With a criminal justice undergrad, law school, criminal defense, litigation, who am I to be out in the world telling somebody else other people do that?
Yeah.
And then, so getting past that was really, that took some years. It wasn't, you know, the short story makes it sound like I made up my mind to chase my dreams, but there was a lot of blood and sweat and tears in all of that. And, you know, I picked up a full-time job at the bank while I was trying to make this work, because I don't know how much your listeners know about lawyers, but they are positive they don't need the new thing that you are selling. And so it was slow going in the early days. There was a lot of grinding and just willing it to make it work.
Good for you for having that kind of like gumption to like know that it will pay off. And because I think a lot of people go into something newish and it doesn't, like, they don't reap the rewards in the first 6 months. So they totally bail. Do you know what I mean? And I sort of feel like that's how I'm built as well. It's like, I know it's going to work. It may not work right now, but it will. And having that faith.
Yeah. And for me, it was, I don't know that I knew it was going to work. I had to believe, right?
Yeah.
I had to believe it was going to work, but I also knew that no matter what, I had to make the decision that I wasn't going to stop.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that I was going to end up exactly where I am today. It just meant that I'm going to use the information that I'm learning and I'm going to figure out what the path forward is. It might not be straight. It never is.
Yeah, no.
But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to head in this direction and figure out where the success is. And I mean, that's still kind of the plan.
Yeah.
And I think for anybody that is having that mindset issue, it's not about knowing it's going to work. Nobody knows it's going to work. You have to have that faith and that belief in yourself. But one thing I've learned hanging out now and making my network full of people who are successful is that is really common. Most people don't, there's a lot of anxiety out there, even in the very successful. And it's just that you have to have an unfailing belief in yourself that you're going to keep going, because most people don't do hard things. And if you choose to do hard things, you'll usually end up in rarefied air.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. And I always have the voice of my, when I had a business coach, he's like, if you're scared, it's telling you it's the right thing to do, because it's like that uncomfortableness. Right. And so it's like, and that's how I launched my podcast. I was petrified. I didn't want to do it. I was like,
me too.
Heck, come on, who's going to want to listen to me?
Right. And then when they listen, are they going to judge me harshly? Sometimes. Yes. Who cares?
I know. Now I don't care. I'm like, whatever. I am
right.
Who I am.
But it's
like,
hard.
Be great if you don't. Yeah, it's fine.
But I think it's good to say that, because a lot of people are having those same struggles right this second. Yeah. And they need to know, yeah, I felt that way. And some days, still a little bit, but I do it anyway.
I know. And the fact that you're helping people really, it validates your decision and you keep on going. Now, what I love about, like I was telling you yesterday, I was talking to a podcast producer who only deals with financial industry. And it's like, you know, for you doing the podcast launches for just lawyers, it's like, to me, that shows you that the podcasting industry has grown so much that you can niche down. And it's easier to market your business. Have you found that so, that it's like, you were just telling me earlier how people are telling you to, like, you know, do everyone's podcast?
It has been infinitely easier as of late, definitely, to market and to grow. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was difficult because I was in that niche that people didn't think they needed it. It was very hard to try to sell what I was doing. And part of the problem was I only really knew relatively small firms, and this isn't always a great fit. Especially the product I was trying to sell, because I only really like to do really, really good things. And when you do really, really good work, you tend to have to sell it for a little bit of money, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a good alignment and client fit at that point. And I still hadn't established myself enough to get my foot in the door with larger firms. And so it was very hard in the beginning. However, once I got a foothold, I found it much easier, much faster. I got that first client in November of 17. I got my first major top 100 in the world firm in February, March of 2020. And so I don't think that if I'd have gone broad in the beginning and just been like Rob's podcast for whoever wants them, yeah, I don't think I'm in the room with a company that large if I had gone broad. Mm-hmm. No company that large, because when they can look at you and now you're just a face in the crowd, you work for anybody and everybody, but when you are the person who does it for these people, and I had the added credibility of also being a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it for lawyers. That's who I work for. I have a system. This is how we do it. We understand what you're trying to do. We also understand that you as lawyers have different ethical responsibilities in your advertising than a lot of other industries do. And so there's a lot of nuances about an industry that niching will help you get in a little bit better. But also it's just when you're in there, you get known for it.
Yeah.
And then they tell the people that they know. It's easier to build that network and grow. So I think we were talking about this all before we hit record, but I had a mentor tell me years ago that there's always room in the market to be better than everyone else. And I love that because A, you can enter the market with confidence because you're going to come in. It might take a while. It's not going to be easy for most of us. But when you get there and you continue to show up every day and do something valuable, do something good, do something better, then you're going to be able to grow. But once we grow in this vertical and we capture it and we have done what we came here to do, and we're able to, then at that point, then we go broad. Then we start thinking, where else can we go? What other verticals can we also be the best in?
Yeah, I agree. Cause then you can just kind of like go out one notch kind of a thing. So with your clients, like, what do you tell the lawyers of like why they should have a podcast? What are the benefits?
Usually they will come to me and they will say, I want a podcast. And that's about as baked as the idea is.
Yeah.
And so I tend to go the Simon Sinek route of why. Why do you think you want a podcast?
Mm.
And that is the three main reasons that my clients tend to have a podcast. One is the FAQ-based model. Is they are nurturing a lead that is in their funnel. They've either arrived on the website through a referral, PPC, SEO, however they got there. They're in the funnel now. They're yours to lose. And we make content that speaks directly to the pain points of a prospect. If it's a personal injury attorney, something bad just happened to them or someone they love, they have questions. And we're going to make episodes that speak directly to those questions. One episode to that question, one episode to that question. So it's easy to find.
Yeah.
Listen to it, little bite size. And a few things are happening there. One, they're getting to know you. They're hearing your voice. Know, like, trust. That's what we want. But you're answering their question. You're making them feel better, which is really what they came for. So if something bad's going on, they have a problem, and the lawyer is going to help them. The lawyer lets them know, I've been here. Know exactly what's happening. I've done this. I know where we're going. And what you're trying to do with that is build that know, like, trust to get them over that friction to pick up the phone. And so that's a big one, is just nurturing that lead with the content that you're creating. And you can put that stuff on your social feeds and video clips and things like that. But the second reason that a lot of clients will use it is to educate prospects.
Yeah.
For educate their, or not prospects, educate referral sources is where I was going.
Ooh, right.
Yeah, and that wasn't even something I'd really thought about in the early days, but I have a client in Texas, Trial Lawyer Nation is the name of the podcast, and he talks to successful trial lawyers all over the country, usually coming off of a very big verdict. They will dissect the trial and talk about jury selection, what happened during cross, all the things, pick it apart and bring out information for other trial lawyers to come and learn and grow.
Interesting.
And that is not directed at clients. It's not intended to get a client to listen and go, oh, he's so smart, I'm going to work with him.
Yeah.
That's intended to develop relationships with the listeners. They're going to get to know him, like, trust him, send him business, bring him referrals, bring him co-counsel. But it's also an excellent vehicle for making connections and building your network.
Yeah.
I mean, think about us right now. we've never met before. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, you know, we've been on 15, 20 minutes. We're getting to know each other, learn a little bit about each other. And when this is over, you're going to publish it. You're going to send us some stuff. We're going to send some things out. We know each other a little bit now. We're a member of each other's network. Mm-hmm. And if I would have just called you and been like, hey, can I talk to you for 20 minutes? You'd be like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your game is, but I'm busy. Right.
Yeah.
And generally. Like yeah. Why would I take my time? We're all very busy. And a podcast is such an excellent vehicle for making those connections between people, because you're creating something of value for your listeners, which creates value for you, but you're also offering me something of value by being here. I'm getting to know you. I'm getting access to your platform, to your listeners, so I can discuss the things that I know about. People are getting to know me a little bit and establishing some authority for me. And there's all of those little parts of that kind of podcast that are super valuable for clients. And then the third one, I see this in big law a lot, is thought leadership.
Yeah.
Is I'm the first person talking about the thing, new legislation, new policy, what's going on. These are very complicated issues, and they're making podcast episodes very quickly after something happens to speak directly to that. And they start generating pretty good followings because it's a really easy, fast way to go to market with this information. And those are the three main ways that my clients are using it. But there's quite a few other ways, but those are the big ones when you think about trying to drive revenue.
Yeah, agreed. And I love the FAQ model, especially now with like YouTube. It just makes your content that much more searchable. People can find you faster.
You're speaking to a point that somebody wants to know. They're not having to dig 30 minutes into an episode that's about six things, you know?
I know. Totally. I love it. Now, I love what you say about how you teach your clients like how to stand out in a crowd. Because a lot of people think, oh, you know, podcasts is a saturated market. And some people have, unclear expectations. They think as soon as they put out a podcast, they're just going to get like these streams of listeners. But there is a way to like stand out. And like, how do you get heard initially and grab people's attention? What do you usually advise clients?
From a business perspective, the idea of a saturated market blows my mind.
I know.
And to really kind of demonstrate that point, I'll say, because I'll have clients ask me, aren't podcasts saturated? Like a personal injury attorney in Charlotte, North Carolina will say, isn't mm-hmm. this market saturated with podcasts? And I'll say, yeah. Maybe, right? Why do you have a website? The personal injury firm across town already has a website. It's a saturated market of websites right now. And it demonstrates how the absurdity of thinking that my voice and my marketing is somehow diminished because someone else is using their voice and they're doing marketing. And because they have a website and you need one too. It's like you need your own storefront. This is just another marketing tool. A business podcast isn't Joe Rogan. It's not the same thing. It's using your voice to help market your content. It's really podcast marketing. It's your business podcast and you are speaking directly. If you're doing the FAQ model, especially, you're speaking directly to your prospects. You're letting them hear your voice because you don't want them going to the firm across town.
Right.
If they're a good fit for you, you want them to be able to listen, get to know you, understand if it's the right fit, and then pick up the phone. So there will never be a saturated market when it comes to that model.
No.
And you know, if you want to create a podcast where you sit around and get drunk and talk to your friends, there's a lot of competition there. I'm not saying that you're not going to do it and you're not funny and you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
But that's tough. There's a lot. It's the barrier to entry to podcasting is real low, real easy to do. I mean, maybe not real easy to do well, but real easy to do. And if you're doing something like that, of course, you could think about the market and what do I have that's unique to offer and bring it. But when it comes to a business discussing what they do directly to a prospect, I mean, every firm could have one and I'd still say you need one.
Yeah. Agreed. I love that analogy. That is so smart. I've never heard it be put that way, but it's so true. And everyone is so different, right? Like I could talk about podcasting one way. Someone else can talk about it another way. And the way the other person communicates or what they focus on could resonate with someone. And what I say, people could be like, oh, I don't get what you're talking about. 100%. It's just total personality thing, right?
And that's what I love about the about podcasting, but just about the modern internet in general, is you don't need a network executive to tell you something's good.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a community, and you can build that community yourself.
Yep.
So many podcasts and YouTube channels. And I mean, one of my favorite examples is Hugh Howie. I've been following this author. He lived in the mountains of North Carolina at one point, and he started writing these books and self-publishing, and they were excellent. I found them early. A friend recommended him. I found those books, and he was just selling them self-published on Amazon for 99 cents. And they were really, really good. And I couldn't wait to get the new ones. And then he started gaining some traction, and he was able to publish the books. And now I think it's the number one series on Apple TV right now. It Wow. finally got made, you know, probably more than a decade later, because he started writing, he started self-publishing, and he found traction. He found his community. They told other people.
Yeah.
And then it happened. And that is what podcasting is like. No one, yeah. There are no more gatekeepers to your content. You can build it your way for a smaller audience that can consume it. And you can usually monetize a smaller audience as well than you would even think possible.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree. And I think it's like podcasters can be shy about being truly authentic and letting their personality out. Like they sort of feel like they have to be a certain way. Do you find that with your law clients? Because I feel like lawyers, they feel like they have to have this specific persona, and their personal persona, like that can't be shown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it can be difficult in the beginning. And we've all seen the lawyer YouTube videos where, look at all the books I own, right? That's a lot of books, isn't it? I must know what I'm talking about. And you can, they put on that voice, that video voice. And that's something I work with clients on in the beginning, is drop that. That video voice has got to go. Relax. Let's just have a conversation. And I found that the way that we approach the medium, I think, makes it easier for people to get comfortable, because a lot of times those videos are, they're looking right at the camera. They've got a script that they're trying to read off of. And that's not what we're doing. Most of what we're recording is just like you and me right now. Yeah. We use a different platform, but it's really just sitting in front of your computer with a mic that you plug it right into the side of your computer, and you're using your webcam. You're just having a conversation with somebody wherever they are. And it's easy to get a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
And just start talking, especially after 1, 2, 3 episodes. And then you see it and you're like, okay, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
Get comfortable with it. And I found that that works a lot better than when they're talking just directly to the camera and trying to read a script, or when a lot of lawyers struggle when they hire the video crew and the lights show up and the makeup goes on, and they know that that video crew is here today. And there's a lot of anxiety, because you got to get this right. And there's $20,000 invested in trying to make sure that this comes out right. And this is a lot of my lawyers now, many of them prepare very little, because they're talking about things they're already an expert in. So they kind of sit down, they grab their mic, they start having their conversation, 15, 20 minutes, usually they're done, and they're off to keep doing whatever it is that they're doing. Yeah. So the stakes are lower, the pressure is down, and they start to get a lot more comfortable, I found. And we have ways to work with them as well. You know, I tell them one of our strategies is cocktail party podcast, is what we've started calling it. Is, you know, think about this. Think about you go to a networking event, you go up to the bar, you grab a cocktail, you see a friend in the corner, you walk over, and new legislation came out today, and you have opinions on it, right? And you start going, you're talking, you're going back and forth, you're excited, you're gesticulating. Other people are starting to hear you. They're kind of leaning in. What are they? Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And that's the way to think about it. You're talking about something you care about passionately, and that is valuable to other people. Other people just happen to be listening to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think about it that way. Have that conversation about something you care about. And that authenticity in you is going to come through, because that's what you want. Because if you are trying to show up and look and act like everybody else, expect to get exactly what everybody else gets. And it's a much better fit to show up as who you are.
Yeah.
That's good. Is that going to turn some people off? 100%. And I think that's good because it's very hard to be for everyone. If you try to be for everyone, you end up being just kind of an amorphous blob. You blend in.
True.
And that's not what you want. You want to stand out. And the best way to stand out is to be that unique person that you are. Say the things like Gary Vee is an example. People always tell him, why do you curse so much? If you cursed less, I think more people would like you. Hey, I don't think he has a problem with that. He has a huge following. But he said, this is who the fuck I am, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's unapologetically him.
It's just, this is how I talk. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And in order to be like, I'm not thinking about cursing. It's just the way I am. If you like it or you don't like it.
Yeah.
And it turns out a lot of people like it.
Yeah,
they just like who he is and that authenticity. Agreed. And I encourage lawyers to do the same thing because there's not one client out there. There's not one type of client out there. When you act like that, and I have quite a few clients that really do bring them whole selves to the podcast and they do curse and they do say some things that are a little off color. They are not losing business.
No. And I think people want to connect with humans, right? It's like, so be your normal human self.
Right. That guy's like me.
You know, you just want to connect with someone that's real, that you can have a normal conversation with, that you can have a coffee with, that you feel like you trust and that you can open up to and, you know, have a conversation with them. And people want to listen into those conversations. And it just humanizes, and especially lawyers and, like, you know, people that are in those kinds of positions and professions, real estate agents, like, there is a stereotype, unfortunately. And to me, I'm like, you would want to mitigate that and just be approachable.
Right. I'm not like everybody else. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Before we go, I just want to ask you a question on your opinion on how you use podcasting to create like a content marketing machine. Because of course, content marketing is my love. So I would just love to hear what your take on it is.
I mean, that's really what I do at its very essence, is I'm doing content marketing for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And we just start with their voice. And so I have big opinions on content marketing. I love it. We're starting with your voice. We're getting you on the microphone. You're having a conversation. We're also recording that video.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it easy. Why not? The camera's right there. Everybody has one. Why not? There's no downside to recording it. Even if you're like, I don't know if I want to use it yet.
Yeah.
I would. And people, no. Use it. Use that video. Stop trying to show up perfect and waiting for the right moment where you've got the right camera and the right gear. The webcam. Everybody's got a 1080p. That thing is good. Use it. And so you're getting your audio, you're getting your video, and then you write a brief description. You can transcribe it, put these things on your website. They're going in podcast players. But that video, the real value in that video is going to be the ability to clip it. If you've got a 25-minute video, you're going to go in there and you can pull 5, 6, sometimes a dozen clips out of that. And you've got a branded template with your logo on it. And then you put captions on that. And now you've got it in vertical for Reels and YouTube Shorts and TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then you can go, you've got your landscape. You've got your square video for different platforms that you're going to be on. And you've got it with your captions and your branding, and you put a title on it. Because what's happening there is when you're sharing a piece of content like that, it's more likely to get seen, first of all, because people are more likely to stop and look at an image or look at a video, and they stop and they see it. And they see your branding, they see the title, they start to see those captions go, because they're not going to touch that screen until they know what it is. People like to watch things, but they don't really want to watch it until they have an opportunity to read it first. And so if you're not having captions, a lot of times they're going to keep moving, because I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's for me. There are infinite things below this that I can keep scrolling to.
Exactly.
And so you want to grab them. You got that split second to grab them. You got the title, you've got your captions, and they go, oh, I kind of want to know more about that. And what do they have to do? Nothing. They just have to do nothing, and it keeps going.
That's a great way.
And they can keep reading. And then they go, I'd like to hear more about this. And now they're hearing it. And then at the end, it's like, okay, I need to know more about that. That's actually for me right now. And something happened there that doesn't happen if you're just sharing a link, because that's a huge friction point. Like, I'm going to click this link and wander off into whatever the hell that is. And then if it doesn't have captions, they're going to keep moving. But what you did there is you found somebody who was able to qualify themselves, and now your chances of converting them into a listener go dramatically up. because they want to know more. You gave them something, they benefited from it, and now they want more. So you can create so many of these, just an endless stream of content marketing for your feeds that are going to convert listeners in a way that it would be very, very difficult to do any other way. So I can talk about that for a long time, but so much content comes from one episode if you're getting the audio and the video.
Agreed. And it's, again, it's just creating that consumable content that's easy for people to engage with and comment on. And yeah, they want to know more about the episode or the show. And same with Instagram Reels, like it puts you in front of an audience and people that you normally wouldn't. So, and it's just and so darn easy.
Yeah. And they're seeing you over and over and over. And every time they see you, you're not just putting out nonsense. You're not just putting out something so people can see you. You're grabbing things that matter.
Yeah.
And so when they see you, you're giving them something valuable. And now you're creating a relationship with them. They like you and they're getting to know you. And depending on what your product is, they're going to feel an affinity for you when it might be time, if and when it might be time to do business with you or send you a referral. You're establishing that. And I have a number of people who I now send business to that I first met on LinkedIn and saw them being valuable in my feed regularly. Yeah.
Agreed. Same here. Instant credibility. I've so enjoyed having you on the show, and I love our topic of niching down and using the podcast. And I think you've given a lot of wisdom for people that haven't even started a podcast. It's like, it can be done, you know, fight your fears and get over that mindset. And that it is an relatively easy thing to do to get your podcast and get your voice heard. So I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your story.
Hey, absolutely. Podcasting changed my life. And anytime I can get a microphone in my face to talk about it, I'm happy to.
Love it. So how can people find you, Robert?
There's virtually nowhere you can't type LawPods and not find me. So LawPods.com, LawPods on every social media platform. And then Robert Ingalls on LinkedIn. Please reach out, connect with me. I think there's only a couple of us, and I think I'm the only one in podcasting, so pretty easy to find.
That's awesome. Thank you so much I've just loved meeting you, and you have a great approach, and I wish you continued success.
Thanks so much.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.